The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, all things around Pac-12, all things on the college football front. He released his AP Top 25 ballot, which you can read up on the website, sports360az.com. We'll have John with us coming up at 10:20. We're going to transition. We're still going to do some business of sports, like what is the latest in the Pac-12 and moving around and all that. But I want to start getting to on the field. Like, I think there's a dark horse Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback within the Pac-12 who's not at USC. I really believe that. I wonder about Michael Crow and his power that he can have within these new Pac-12 negotiations. I look up at Washington State and Oregon State and think they're going to be better than what people are going to say. Who's the one player that John looks at in the Pac-12 and says, you know, if this one quarterback comes through, this team could be in the CFP. It can be in the college football playoff. And much more with John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. That comes up here at 10:20. Opening commentary brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their ongoing support. Had a great weekend. Just a weekend of chill. I saw 13 Lives on Amazon Prime, the Ron Howard directed movie. It's got a sports tie to it. It's a soccer team that went into a cave, 13 kids. This was a true story. And how they had to get the kids out was, it was just gripping. It was good stuff. It hit on Amazon Prime on Friday night. We watched that, my better half and I. And, you know, Saturday was a high school media day. I'm a very big believer in going out to some of the high schools to stay in touch with them as well as the college and the pros. It was Tempe Union School District, so I had a good visit with them. You always come across stories and you come across players that one day you'll be talking to in college and one day you'll be talking to them in the NFL. That's just how it works. And it's very smart, I think, to start having some media availability for these high school kids. You know, Jordan went out to the Red White over at the Cardinals. He was out there for that. Claudia was with me, as was Chris Peterson at the media day. So we're out. And Jordan is over at Arizona State this morning, Jordan Hamm, doing that. Jordan Spurgeon is working on a documentary that will hit on Bally Sports Arizona in a couple of weeks. Hit on the site as well. It does not have a happy ending, I'll just tell you that. But it's one that needs to be told. It really does. I'm super passionate. We have 5 documentaries that are either in progress or on the drawing board with our team. We don't just do this. We just don't write some content for the website. We're doing some really cool things and very, very excited as we get ready to go into another football season starting next month. And to that end, yeah, the Cardinals are in camp and the Cardinals play this Friday. And I would guess the over-under of starters or those who are going to get a significant impact this season that will not play in this preseason game would be 15, 18 players. But they have the jerseys on and, you know, you hype everybody up and all that stuff. And meantime, you take your most valuable commodities, the players, and put them out in games that don't mean a damn thing. And we think that this is okay. And it's simply not. This is not how you treat a workforce. But hey, in this day and age, getting my fantasy team together, like Ja'Marr Chase on the field against the Cardinals this week, the chances of him being thrown to, I don't know, once in warmups? Warmups. Like, why would Kyler be on the field for more than, if you want to get him out there and have him hand the ball off 5 times so the offensive line finds some timing and rhythm? Even that in this day and age with an expanded schedule, and trying to stay healthy all the way through, why run the risk of any player at all being on the field this week? It's absolutely my worst fear for these players, and it's my least favorite time of the year. It is. August in preseason football is just it's a bleep show, and that's that. N'Keal Harry, ankle injury, Bears camp, former Sun Devil. We'll see how long he is out. On the college football platform today, the coaches poll came out, which is of interest to me. Alabama getting most of the first place votes, followed by Georgia, Ohio State, and one person voted for Texas. They won't release who voted for whom until the end of the regular season. Arizona State and U of A, They're out on the practice field. They're getting ready for their games. We're starting to get into game ready shape. I thought it was interesting off the field with both programs, because basically what we know about U of A is Jaden Delora is going to start Pac-12 Freshman of the Year at quarterback, and he has some really good players that they've brought in Tucson. Does it mean they're going to be ready to go to San Diego State and win on opening week? No. San Diego State's opening their new stadium, and San Diego State is a really good football program. Like, they get the job done over there. That's not the SEC, but they turn out players to the NFL. They win their 8 games or 9 games, and it's fine. It's just fine. That's not going to be an easy opener for the Wildcats. Arizona State on the other hand, I still think NAU could beat them. You know, I really believe that. And if you don't believe it, then I don't know. Watch what's going on within the Sun Devil program on their social media. We're not getting paid enough. We need more NIL money. How about just, like, get off your phone, put it away, and work? How about that? Novel concept in this day and age. But when there's so many players that are coming into the program, like, I think they're going to be a pound and ground team, the way it sounds. I think that that's how they're going to do it. Ground game and pound it. That's how it's going to be early on. Jed Fish, though, took to the, and people laugh at what's going on with him in Tucson. If they didn't go to U of A, if they went to ASU, it's easy. They'll never give anybody a break. And they think it's funny, and I'm just kind of like, oh, whatever. Jed Fish took out a full-page ad in the Arizona Daily Star over the weekend, encouraging fans to buy tickets. We need to shatter attendance records. Well, let me fill you in on something. There are not many records to shatter in attendance, because when Rich Rod was there, they had north of 22,000 season tickets. My understanding, when Sumlin left, it was below 10. It's a basketball school. It's just what it is. But at least I'm giving him the credit. I've been around him some. I like what he's all about, and feel much better about the direction of the Arizona Wildcat football program than the Arizona State football program today. A lot of things can change, but today I feel much better about what's going on in Tucson rather than Tempe. Did you see Nick Faldo over the weekend? I was thinking about showing it today with Iron Man, but Nick Faldo left CBS Sports. It was announced a couple months ago that he was going to depart. 16 years he's been up in the booth. The LIV golf tour with Greg Norman has been saying the PGA Tour is for old folk. They're not the hip. They're not the young. They're not the cool. They're not the this and not the that. Me being in media forever, I remember when I got into town at KTAR, and I'm in my mid-20s, and there were people, we got to get younger, we got to get younger, we got to get younger. Meantime, I'm working with Hall of Famers like the late Bill Haywood, the late Tom Dillon, Pat McMahon, Bill Strauss, all these great, Preston Westmoreland, late Grant Woods, all these great voices, the late Paul Harvey, got to get younger, got to get younger. And they try stuff, and they put stuff on the air, and it never worked, never worked. So rather than being the, well, we're the cool hip thing, that's what the LIV is saying. No, you're the one that is paying a lot of dough, and that's it. That's it. So the LIV has been pointing out that the PGA Tour is skewed towards older people. People like myself in my mid-50s that have grown up watching the tour, that this is no longer your dad's tour. Well, let me fill you in on something. The revenue around the PGA Tour and the audience around the PGA Tour in certain areas. Tiger Woods is never going to play in Milwaukee in the John Deere Classic in Iowa. He's not going to do that. Neither is Rory McIlroy. Neither is Justin Thomas. Neither is Tony Finau. I mean, there's great names on the tour. So I'm sure that there was a little bit on Nick's part at 65 years of age, and he was so eloquent yesterday and got choked up. He was blubbering, and Jim Nance, being the pro that he is, you know, hey, easy, you know, pull yourself together. You've got this. This is all on the air yesterday. And it was, I didn't get misty-eyed over it. I just was looking at it saying, this is good TV right here. This is good TV. I don't need to have, well, we have Bryson and Phil and, you know, down the list of guys that have jumped over to that tour. Eventually, this will be the AFL and the NFL. Eventually, the business of sports will take over. I think that's where it's going to end up. But so Nick leaves and Trevor Immelman will step into his space. And that caught my eye over the weekend. The Diamondbacks, and let me jump over to the Dodgers and Padres, first of all. I was into that last night. How about you? Yeah, baseball season here in Arizona ended about 6 weeks ago. They're going to play games, and I can get to the hardcore fan and say, we all want to see these kids brought up and get them out there on the field and play. We can all say that. But Padres, Dodgers, man, what a jack stomping. Like, if you're a Padre fan today and you're going to give me the, we now have our team is great. You scored one run in three games in L.A. The Dodgers lead you by 15 and a half games. The Dodgers allowed one run. The Padres scored one run the whole weekend. But the thing that caught my eye the most was when ESPN decided, let's do something different in a regular season game versus what we do in, like, I don't know, the All-Star game. So they have Soto put on an earpiece and a microphone on him while he's playing in a regular season game in Los Angeles. And they have him talk about his jewelry, and they have a shot of his necklace that's clanking around. So it's all pre-produced. It's like, okay, we're going to put him on, and we're going to show his jewelry, and it's going to be really cool. He's going to be standing in right field because, gosh knows, nothing happens in right field. And I'm sitting with my wife saying, I hope to God they hit a ball to right field and that he's got to go make a play. And they did, and he did. And it was great TV in that moment. But they kept him going and going and interviewing him this whole half inning. And meantime, the Dodgers are scoring runs while he's out there. Then you could just, I don't know, it just felt like after a while, like, dudes, I'm on my team and I have to pay attention to the game. And so later in the game, he hits into a double play and he's clearly frustrated. And I wish he would have just ripped the wire, the microphone right off him and thrown the earpiece to the ground and stomped on it because it was a bad look. Are you there to win the game, or are you there to grow the game? Are you trying to do both? Like, it's Sunday Night Baseball, and let's start putting earpieces and microphones on players. And a teammate is sitting there saying, yeah, he said no to $450 million. He's going to stand out there and be interviewed, and we're getting our ass kicked. So, I'm at the end of the day, I am so much about winning and not giving one rat's about jerseys and uniform combinations and all the nonsense. Just give me wins. I'm sorry. It's really not that hard. I don't want to talk police blotter. I don't need the starting receiver to get popped at doing north of 110 and laugh and ha-ha about it. I don't need the running back coach to be popped and going through that nonsense over with our hometown heroes on the gridiron. I don't need the quarterback signing a deal that the team put in there, and it's pretty clear the quarterback didn't read it, and it's pretty clear the language was built towards a seventh grader. And Kyler Murray's a professional athlete you're paying all this money to. So, like, the nonsense around the Cardinals in the last couple of weeks has been nauseating. It just has been. Because I look at guys like Zach Ertz and J.J. Watt and say, you know what, A.J. Green, all right, I got some Buda Baker. There's leaders. There's some ballers. There's some players. Please just get me through all of this buildup and nonsense and get to the regular season against Mahomes. And please stay out of the police blotter. Let's just lay low. How about that? How about that for a novel concept? I don't need to see another piece on social about Cliff's girlfriend. I just don't. And I'm not alone. The amount of people that I, in my circles, that say, what the hell's going on over there? You know, it's just play some football. It's your guy's fault. No, it's not. We didn't drive 120 miles. No, well, stuff happens. You're not perfect. No, I'm not. But I'm also not over there in the public spotlight. I'm also not the new receiver that's been brought in with big game. So, all right, John Wilner on the other side. Wilner Hotline on a Monday morning. We're going to bounce around all things Pac-12. There's going to be some business side to it. But also, let's get to On the Field with the great John Wilner. That is next. All right, jumping into it on a busy Monday with John Wilner. Wilner Hotline, and John's empire is expanding. First of all, you're in the locker room. I like that. Helmet and gear behind you. That's good. But The Wilner hotline is going through expansion, kind of like the Pac-12, or we'll get into that in a minute. But you have some expansion news. It's pretty exciting that you're partnering up with someone on a podcast.
Yeah, delighted to be partnering with John Canzano, terrific journalist, sports writer. Bald-faced Truth is his alias, johncanzano.com. And we're going to do a weekly podcast, just, you know, talk about Pac-12 college sports for half hour, 45 minutes each week, and maybe take some questions from readers or listeners. Just, you know, there's so much to talk about these days with the Pac-12 on and off the field. We're looking forward to getting started with that.
All right. Where will people be able to find this? Do you know yet? Have you guys drilled down on
that? We're on Apple. I mean, the best thing to do would be to head to my Twitter feed at Wilner Hotline. But we are on Apple, Spotify.
Everywhere.
SoundCloud. Yep. Yeah. All the usual suspects.
George Kliavkoff did not help negotiate this media deal. Right.
No, he did not. Hopefully we will fare better than the Pac-12 has, at least in the last 5 weeks.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline. Okay, you had this in your mailbag that we carry, of course, at sports360az.com, but I want you to drill down on this. Pac-12 survival versus Pac-12 expansion. As we sit here on Monday, the 8th of August, what are your thoughts?
So, yeah, I've started a little bit, try to make it fun, relatable for readers and fans. I am treating the Pac-12 situation like it's a game and placing odds, right? So I've got right now, Pac-12 survival is a 4-point neutral field favorite over Pac-12 extinction, which basically means I think there's a better chance than not the conference is going to survive, but I don't think it's guaranteed. I know that everybody, you ask the folks on the campuses, and everybody is, you know, optimistic that they're going to stick together, but I don't think it's a guarantee at all. And we'll know a little bit more, I think, in the coming weeks. The Big Ten is in the middle of their media rights negotiations. How that ends up in, you know, by Labor Day, I think will tell us a lot about what the Pac-12 situation will be. And at that point, it might be time to adjust the odds a little bit.
So just so we're clear on this, you have them as a 4-point favorite to stick together.
Yes.
And your feeling is just the people on campus are saying, yeah, we're going to make it through. And you're looking at the media rights deal because the Pac-12 is in a good position in the stance of, okay, we know what everybody's cards are because the Big Ten is going to have their media deal in place, right? That's the way you're going?
Yeah. I mean, basically, my view is, I think the Pac-12 schools want to stay together. I think the Big Ten is off the table right now for Washington, Oregon, and Stanford. I think that's clear, despite some reports in the last week or two otherwise at other media outlets. And I also think that the 10 schools, only are viewing the Big 12 as a last resort. Mm-hmm. If they can't make it work contractually. Stability is certainly an issue. If you're Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, you're probably a little worried about what's going to happen down the road if the Big Ten tries to get Oregon, Washington, Stanford, or some combination. But I think the everybody wants to stick together. They don't want to join the Big 12, move their center of gravity away from their alumni bases on the West Coast, move their recruiting away from the West Coast, and have to send all their teams to Morgantown, West Virginia, and Ames, Iowa, and Waco, Texas, right? That's not really Pac-12 territory. So I think they want to stay together if they can.
Focus in a little bit on Dr. Michael Crow. So Michael Crow, from my view, has been a big part of the Pac-12 network's survival. He has been bullish on it. Where does he stand in these negotiations in terms of he has a voice, or is he just one of the presidents? Does he have more say than the others within the conference, John?
I think he would be in the top 4 or 5. Well, there's 10 left. There's 10 left, right? He's certainly in the top half in terms of influence. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. You can make the case either way, because Michael Crow was Larry Scott's biggest supporter. He thought the Pac-12 was going to be light years ahead of everybody else. And we all knew he was wrong about that stuff when he said it. But I also think Michael Crow wants to stay in the Pac-12. He wants to make it work and stick together and does not want to go to the Big 12. And, you know, ASU's got some sway, I think. If ASU is committed to the Pac-12, that makes it a lot harder for Arizona, right? Because Arizona needs a partner. If for some reason Arizona is looking a little bit east, you know, they got to have a partner to go. So I think Crow is going to have a fairly large say, and he's certainly been around long, right? He and Gene Block from UCLA are the longest tenured presidents, and it's not really even close. Everybody else has kind of been appointed to their position in the last 5 or 6 years.
Do you think Arizona has wandering eyes to break away?
I think Arizona's fans do. I think Arizona's media, I think some faction of Arizona's, you know, boosters and power brokers view the Big 12 as a pretty good spot. Arizona's calculation is a little different because basketball is so important, right? And the Big 12 is a phenomenal basketball conference.
Right.
But I'm not sure that President Robert Robbins and AD Dave Hickey are dead set on going to the Big 12 at all. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Robbins is a Stanford guy, and I think he'd prefer for the Pac-12 to find a way to stick together. So you got to be careful, you know, what you believe. Just because there's a lot of groundswell support for moving to the Big 12 doesn't mean that the people who are going to be making the decisions want to do it.
John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline. Okay, one other part on the business side of sports, and I want to move to actually on the field because we're close, but the other business side is, anything do you expect on the Pac-12 media negotiating front this week?
No, I'd be surprised if there's news before Labor Day. I'd be mildly surprised if there's news before October. I think it's going to take months, right? They need to wait for the Big Ten to finish up its negotiations. That way they know how much money ESPN has, how much money Fox has, and which other networks are involved with the Big Ten. We'll tell them which networks may want a piece of the Pac-12. It's a supply-demand situation. If you're ESPN and you get a very small slice of the Big Ten's football inventory, you're going to be more interested in the Pac-12. So then you get to the point where if they don't get a great offer from ESPN and Fox, then they take it to the open market and see what NBC or Turner, CBS, Amazon, Apple. These things typically take many months, and I think the Pac-12s will extend into the football season.
John Wilner with us. You can find his content on the website, of course, at sports360az.com. You can follow John on Twitter at Wilner Hotline. Okay, I got three players I want to run by you because we need to get to on the field at some point. So let's do it. Jordan Addison, USC, stock up, stock down this coming season?
That's a great question. The guy's a terrific receiver. It might be the best receiver in the country, but the expectations are through the roof for him in Lincoln Riley's offense and with Caleb Williams as quarterback. So I think his stock is up, but it's not, I don't know that he's going to, you know, play to the hype because the hype is almost unattainable.
Jaden Delora, quarterback, Arizona, Pac-12 freshman of the year, leaves Washington State, comes to Tucson, stock up, stock down.
Stock up. I think he'll do well with Jed Fish. And I think they're adding skill position talent. So he's key, right? That was a great example of a win-win on the quarterback front. Washington State loses their starting quarterback. Arizona gains that quarterback, and Arizona wins. Washington State also wins because the guy they're replacing Delora with is probably better equipped in their offense, a transfer named Cam Ward. So I think both Washington State and Arizona were winners in that Delora switch.
Okay, who else are you looking at? I don't want to keep throwing names at you, but transfers that can make an impact this year. I mean, obviously Caleb Williams' name's out there, but I'm not going to do that to you. Someone else that you're looking at, maybe a couple guys like Brad, I'm really intrigued by this player at this school.
Well, I think you have to start with the quarterbacks, and there are going to be probably seven new quarterbacks, all transfers, right? To me, the guy that could have the biggest impact on the conference at large is Bo Nix, Oregon's presumptive starting quarterback. He was at Auburn for 3 years. He was a little bit erratic at Auburn. If he plays at a high level on a weekly basis, then Oregon becomes probably the favorite for the conference and a potential playoff team. So if you're looking at, you know, getting into the play, how can the Pac-12 be a factor in the playoff? You know, Bo Nix is going to play a huge role in that. there's other new quarterbacks, but I'm not sure other than Caleb Williams, any of them are capable of elevating their team into the playoff race.
Still hearing fans talk about who's going to win the North and who's going to win the South.
Yeah. Okay, so it's tough. It's a habit.
It's a habit. And so because the North and the South are no longer what they are, what they've been, it's just, here's the Pac-12. Who are the two schools as we sit here today? Again, August 8th, no injuries, no nothing. You look at it and say, Brad, this is it. These are the two teams.
Yeah, top two finishers in the conference race will play for the championship. When fans look at the standings, it's just going to be a list of 12.
Yep.
I would put Utah for sure on top. And then you could probably flip a coin between SC and Oregon. I think those are the next two. And they don't play each other, which is going to be potentially significant. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to me, UCLA, Washington State would be on the next tier. I don't know. I'll flip a coin and say Oregon ends up playing Utah in a rematch of last year's championship, and hopefully it would be closer.
The school that is not getting enough attention, you look at it and you say, you know, they're just sitting over here building and building and building, and this, they may not be a top finisher, one or two, but Brad, they're going to push some people to three or four. Who's that school this year, John?
You could argue it's UCLA. I think the Bruins are going to end up with they're going to have a very good record. I don't know if they'll be as good as their record, but they got three cream puffs in non-conference and a very favorable league schedule. They got eight home games. So, you know, the foundation is set for UCLA to be, you know, 9-3, something like that. But I kind of like two of the states. I like Oregon State and Washington State to both be contenders, you know, top half, top six, right? To me, that though you put the LA schools, Utah, Oregon State, Washington State, I'm thinking that's your top six.
And Washington State, given all the turmoil and chaos a year ago, not even a year ago, with the coach and the quarterback transfer and the quarterback coming in, that'd be a hell of a good story, John.
It would be. They were one game out of the North last year. If Oregon had lost its finale against Oregon State, Washington State would have won the North. So they're, you know, and they got a lot of those guys back, and their quarterback, even though he's from Incarnate Word, he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the conference this season. They do have a new coach, but he was Jake Dickert, the same coach that saw them through the last half of last season. Right. So they did have a lot of turmoil, but there's kind of some stability hidden within.
Caleb Williams is going to get a lot of Heisman attention. It's going to be a lot of Heisman conversation. Is Cam Rising just sitting over there saying, you know, what about me? Because I've got a program that has won. I've been here to win. Is Cam Rising a preseason Heisman dark horse in your opinion? Or look, he's already on the radar. Where are you at on that one?
No, great question. It's so Utah, isn't it, to have their starting quarterback coming back and he's not even getting the most publicity, right? I think he is very much a dark horse right now, but 8 o'clock on September 3rd, that might not be the case. They open at Florida. If Rising and if Utah goes in there and wins and he plays well, he's not going to be a dark horse anymore, right? He will have some support. Then it's a matter of keeping it up, because it's much, much harder if you're the quarterback at Utah to stay in the Heisman race. And if you're the quarterback at USC, for instance, right? Voters tend to brand association is really big with a Heisman electorate that is almost entirely east of the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. But Rising's got a great first chance, right? Opening at Florida, huge stage for him.
Yeah, you and I are two of the Heisman voters out here.
Yes, we are.
So we're the only ones, or not the only ones, but we're a few of the ones carrying the flag around. Like when Christian McCaffrey should have been getting attention, it's like, who? What?
It's tough when you're playing a lot of games at night. Heisman voters don't see you.
Right.
Your games aren't on you don't get the highlights, right? Because you play it. Your game ends at 10 o'clock Pacific. There's no studio shows to show your highlights all afternoon. So it is very tough. You know, Marcus Mariota won it. 2014, but he was a preseason favorite. Mm-hmm. Being a dark horse from the Pac-12 is almost impossible to win it. We saw it with Christian McCaffrey. He broke an unbreakable record and didn't win it.
Didn't get a sniff, really, when you look at the whole the way that that went, in my opinion. Anything before I get you out of here? John and I are going to get together every Monday. So you look ahead at this week, anything this week that's on your radar, people will be reading about in the hotline or hearing you and Canzano chop it up on the podcast.
Well, we're going to transition to the actual football season, right? I am not going to start ignoring the bigger, the existential crisis facing the conference, but football is ramping up. So more coverage about what's happening on the field. And, you know, everybody started camp a little bit different last week. And you know that old saying about an NBA seven-game series doesn't start till the road team wins? Well, in my mind, training camp doesn't start till the pads go on. And that happens this week. Everybody's going to start hitting this week. So by next Monday, we should have a pretty good feel for what's going on across the conference, and especially with some of those quarterback competitions that are going to be just vital to determining how the league does this year.
That's John Wilner. And again, you can read all John's content on sports360az.com. You can go to Wilner Hotline. You'll learn more about his podcast that he's launching with John Canzano. And of course, John and I chop it up every Monday here on the show. Have a great week, John.
Thanks a lot, Brad. You too.
We're back with more after this timeout.